Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include fitness classes, community education, information, and referral. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos.
Always good to be here, John.
It's always good when Otto is here. And we're having a wonderful conversation with Nicole and Alyssa. And we also had Christine, who has left for take care of some business, I assume. But three wonderful women doing wonderful work for caregivers, helping caregivers survive, because there's nothing more difficult. You know, 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we had the Mary Ann Kelly Hospice Inn on. And so whilst you're dealing with somebody you love dying, and they don't even have to be dying, they could just be in a terrible situation, it's nice to have a place to go to take care of yourself. And that is the epitome of what these ladies are doing. And so one, before we go back, I want to congratulate you for putting this together. It's absolutely tremendous program. And two, let's start it off with giving out the number again. I want people to realize they have free access to you guys anytime they want.
Yes. So the phone number is 516-562-4750.
Perfect. And anybody who doesn't have a pen with them, they know they can just call 311 anytime, and we will have that information to pass on to them in reference to the Charlotte and Roger Blumenkranz Caregiving Center, which is in the Monty Pavilion at Northwell Hospital, right there at 300 Old Country Road. It's got to be by the, wasn't the gift shop used to be there?
Yes, so we are North Shore University Hospital, 300 Community Drive in Manhasset, and we are where the old gift shop was, yes.
I know exactly where you guys are. Anyway, Otto, go ahead.
Yeah, just to clarify, John, you said Northwell, and the ladies are calling it North Shore University Hospital. What is the name nowadays, actually?
So our health system is Northwell Health, and we are one of the hospitals within Northwell Health. North Shore University Hospital at 300 Community Drive.
Oh, okay.
So you are called North Shore University Hospital.
Yes, North Shore University Hospital.
Okay.
As part of the network. I didn't realize that. I thought everything went Northwell. Okay.
Well, yes, we are part of Northwell. That's the right. Larger health organization.
Okay, perfect. Now, the other thing, which and forgive me if this was discussed already, what are the hours of operation?
Sure. So it's Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we are able to speak with anyone during those times. And all of our support groups that we had discussed before are all virtually over Zoom. So to be able to sign up for those support groups, you can certainly just give that number a call for any of the support groups that were mentioned.
Right, right. Which is the most important thing. And then, but at the same time, when this whole COVID pandemic is over, people could just go in there and just hang out. You make a friend, actually. You meet somebody who has maybe a similar situation going on or something totally different. It really makes no difference, but it's two people connecting.
Exactly. And you don't even have to rely on another individual from the community being here. That's why we have our caregiver coaches who are also that peer-to-peer support.
So there's always going to be somebody on staff. Go ahead, Otto.
Well, one of the things I read is that you also, as part of the center, provide guidance for navigating the hospital system. Mm-hmm. That I find that important. A lot of people have a rough time when they're in to try to find out who to talk to who about what. Is that the type of guidance you would provide?
Yes. So that is also, if you do have a loved one here, certainly being able to, connect with the patient and the caregiver and just ensuring if you have any questions that we're here for you and your family members.
I think now, especially where I believe still there are limitations on who can visit and for how long, I think it would be very important to know that you can go to a location, a center within the hospital to help you communicate, because that's always, to me, one of the roughest things when people are in the hospital is to try to get the lay of the land as to who you can talk to about what's going on. You know, it's complicated sometimes.
Yes, and so we can certainly serve as that liaison between the care team and the caregiver, especially when visitation is limited at this time. Right now, we have visitation from 12 to 8 for 2 hours per day. And we recognize that certainly is not ideal, but needed to balance the safety of our patients, family, and community.
No, I think that's a great service then to provide that kind of guidance, because that's a tough situation. You know, when you have somebody in the hospital who you're caregiving for, if you will, and you can't work your way through the system to find out what's going on, it gets frustrating, and it's not doing anybody any good.
Right. Exactly. So we want to be here. So before it gets too frustrating, that you're able to come to us and we could help, you know, help you anyone navigate the system.
I'm just going to change the subject a little bit here, because, you know, during the virus, starting in April, I think it was, we not only are on the radio, we're also on TV. So you guys are going to be on TV next week, pretty much every night and during the day and whatever. But we didn't ask you to wear masks. And I think that's very respectful of you guys for each other. And even though you're friends, and I'm sure you respect and understand where each one of you have been, the fact that you came on the air, so to speak, with masks, I think is a credit to you and an acknowledgement of the importance of masks, which is a whole different story. But I mean, the number of cases and new cases and deaths, it's staggering, and it's heartbreaking.
Yes, and I think you bring up a great point. One of the expectations when you are visiting here is that your masks be worn and worn properly. So if you do have a loved one here, there is an expectation that a mask is worn by all of our visitors and all of our team members.
And I like properly versus in just to have it someplace in the neighborhood, you know.
With your nose right. Hanging out. I understand people who have glasses. It's an issue because when you put the mask on, the glasses fog up, and maybe we should come up with an invention to defog glasses with a mask, like a little wiper blade or something. I don't know.
It's not a bad idea, Otto. I think you got something there. It's the truth. But more importantly, hopefully the vaccines will be working in come May or June, which it will be that long, this will be over. But you
there is an end in sight. We have started to distribute to our team members the vaccine, and we are very grateful to start to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
I agree. And it's going to be a while, so we still have to be respectful and you have to be cautious. There's no question about it, because the last thing you need is for you guys to get sick or to have some family member come in and get sick. Well, they're dealing with a situation of a much sicker family member, so to speak, because, you know, COVID is a death sentence, but it can be debilitating. There's no question about it for people.
Debilitating and isolating. And really what we are looking to support is team members supporting the community so they are not as isolated. And even if we have to get creative and speak on the phone or on Zoom, we know that's a period in time. And hopefully, as you mentioned, come next fall, we may be in a different position to welcome them back into our center.
Right. There's so many places, unfortunately, like that Christina has brought on that are wonderful organizations. But, you know, the physical location is closed and everything has to be virtual. Excuse me. At this point.
You also are like a lot of organizations look for volunteers, I would think, on a regular basis. What are you looking for primarily?
So all of our caregiver coaches who are our volunteers have either been caregivers themselves or are currently a caregiver for someone that they love. So we really look just for qualities of, you know, being compassionate, empathetic, and really being able to connect with caregivers in our community and in our hospital, and be able to provide that listening ear and support for them. So we have a process where our volunteers get onboarded through our volunteer department, and then they go through a training with myself, which is a multiple week training for our volunteers before they interact with any of our caregivers, either in the community or in our hospital.
Get on, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm sure you always have a need too. Do you have a number, like roughly how many volunteers do you have?
Yeah, so now we have about 10 volunteers. Since COVID, onboarding any new volunteers, unfortunately, has been suspended. So we have not been able to onboard anyone new since COVID, but we're hopeful, as we had mentioned before, kind of this light at the end of the tunnel, that we will be able to welcome more volunteers back soon.
Under the direction of Lisa Bryman, the hospital at large has about 1,000 volunteers. So as you can imagine, their support is integral in our hospital operations, and we are very grateful for all that they do.
From a volunteer perspective, the volunteer will be working through the hospital. They're not going to go to the person's home, right? So if I want to meet with somebody, I'm going to meet them at the center there.
Exactly.
I'm going to drive into their house. Okay.
Exactly. So they would either meet the volunteer in the center or speak to them over the phone or over Zoom. But the volunteers do not go, you know, to anyone's homes. It's all done in the center.
Right. And if people wind up making or forming friendships, that's a whole different story. And a lot of times that does happen, where you might be there and hook up with somebody for a couple of months and actually, you know, have a friend for life out of it, because you've seen them through something terrible. And hopefully, you know, whether the person has passed on or not is another story. But, you know, by that kind of an interaction, you're really touching souls, because it's the most vulnerable time of a person's life. So they're not lying to you at that point in time. They're being honest and they're telling you their true feelings. And what better way to meet a friend, which sounds terrible, but it's true.
Yeah. And we also have our part of the Caregiver Center, our Stay in Touch program. So this is a program, if caregivers would like to enroll, where our volunteers and myself stay in touch, you know, with these caregivers, call them weekly if they wish to check in with them, and really develop, like you're saying, that friendship and trust with them.
I also think it's important to recognize the bi-directional benefit that this provides our community, for our caregivers who are receiving the support, but also for our caregiver coaches who are able to be that listening ear that Alyssa speaks about. They receive such benefit from doing this, because they themselves have either been a caregiver or currently are a caregiver and know just how challenging and difficult it is.
Ladies, we're out of time, but this was, honestly, this is tremendous. Okay, what you guys are doing is absolutely phenomenal. It's such a worthy service that the hospital is putting forth, but having you guys run it, you can just sense how wonderful it is. So I appreciate
it.
I thank you so much, very so much for all you do. You've been listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.